Welcome to Working Musicians, a feature of theworkingmusician.com. I am so proud to present live music every week for White Plains and the audience beyond. Today, my special guests are a fabulous guitar duo who are, funnily enough, called Two Guitars.
Yeah. Makes sense, right?
We got Brian on guitar and Gus on guitar. And when we spoke today, I said, and by the way, we have a keyboard in the studio. And you said, why would we need that?
That's right. We like to keep things understandable. You know, we call ourselves Two Guitars. We're going to go with two trombones, but we thought it might be a little confusing. So, you know.
Now, how do you spell guitar? Q-U-E-T-B-S? No.
Exactly. Spell check. That's it.
Yeah. No, I'm always amazed. When I grew up, like, Karen was K-A-R-E-N.
Right.
And now it's C-A-R-Y-N-N-E-W.
I know. There's far too many. People are getting creative now with spelling. There's no question about it, man.
So what's great about this, and I want to say a little word to my listeners, is that you guys contacted me.
Yep.
Yeah, and I love
you
that.
A great show, man.
I love people contacting me. I need to feed the beast.
That's right.
Okay.
That's sort of a reference in life, isn't it?
I need to feed the beast. And I'm always looking for acts. I'm always looking for people who can really play. And I checked out your websites. Now, it's interesting today. What is your website?
Well, our website, Two Guitars, is Two Guitars Now, like all one word, right. TwoGuitarsNow.com.
Everything's spelt out. T-W-O.
Yeah. Right, because I looked up theobvious.com, and it's two other guitars.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's why we had to do the now thing, because you look, there's a lot of two guitars, but, you know, so, yeah.
It's getting a little late in the game to get a name, right?
Yeah, we can't go with, yeah.
So how did you guys get together?
Well, easy enough, right?
Yeah.
Well, we're both from Putnam County, or not originally, but we live up there now. I have a music store in Putnam County called Putnam Music, and Brian approached me about teaching guitar for me in the store. And we just developed a friendship that way. It took a lot of years of him teaching, probably 6 or 8 years before we actually
decided at least eight. Well, because he was, I mean, he's running the store and all that stuff, man. There's lots of students up there and everything. It's a cool store, you know. And I was, and every once in a while he'd pass, and we're both generally the same age and have some of the same influences, you know.
Late 20s,
thank you so much. That's good. I'll pay you at the end of the show. But, you know, so we'd always talk about how we wanted to take songs, or he'd pass the room where I was teaching or something. So, what do you think of the idea of taking this song from 1968 and doing it as a Latin groove or something? And then I'd pass where he was, you know, and say, what do you think? Well, of course, we kept doing that for years, for like 7 or 8 years,
right,
until finally we said, you know what, let's just play a couple of guitars. Let's just get together and start jamming around and see what happens. And, you know, now we're playing, you know, we just did a thing at the, we did an opening for the party for Patti LaBelle at the Paramount Theater, which was fun. And,
wow.
And, that was cool. And we did, what else have we done? We were over at 12 Graves, which is a really great club in Peekskill. If you're in the neighborhood, check it out. Lots of great jazz, blues, rock musicians there and stuff. We played another place called Northwood in Mayapack. Mm-hmm. We've done concerts at the Mayapack Library. Mm-hmm. We're down to Starving Artist
in City Island,
which is really a cool place. You should check it out, Roger. You'd like it.
I've read about that place.
Yeah. It's a lot of good artists down there.
We were at the Town Crier.
We were at the Town Crier with Lenny Stern on the African Project. So
very nice.
And
were you? Did you open for someone, or are you?
We opened for.
Yeah, we opened for Lenny Stern, the African Project.
Okay.
Yeah.
Question for you, Gus.
Yes.
I grew up in a town outside of New York. Mm-hmm. And we had two record stores on the main street, you know, and they basically, you rented your trumpet or your trombone.
Yep. That's it.
But then by the time I was in high school, it was down to one store, and now it's down to no stores.
Correct.
So my question to you is, I mean, I know the internet has changed a lot, because now you can just...
Absolutely.
I mean, basically... Absolutely. But are you still able, do you sell stuff over the internet? Is that helping you make it?
We try not to sell new product over the internet because, quite frankly, there's 22 billion sites selling the same thing.
Yeah.
We focus on the students. That is what we primarily do, in which we have over 400 students coming in the door every week.
Wow.
Lessons. We do, of course, generate sales from the students, which is a great thing. And whenever somebody wants an instrument or rent an instrument, we rent instruments. But if somebody wants to buy something, if we don't have it, we will certainly do our best to get it for them. Not as easy as in the old days.
I just want to add one thing to that. When I came here from California, salute.
Chill.
Double. All right. I didn't want to go to the big music stores because I saw that there was a small music store opening where we were, and much as you were inferring about growing up in a town where you had music stores and stuff, where you had people you could rely on, I walked in the door and we ended up striking up a conversation. Gus is with the Turtles for years. We've both been with different bands and stuff. And I was with the Tokens, and we both started talking about stuff, and that's when I started teaching. But I bought all my equipment there as well because I didn't want the hassle of going to big stores and not having any accountability. And
it certainly has changed. Absolutely has changed.
So that's what I dig, is being able, like you were talking about, being able to go into a little store.
So it's a viable ongoing concern.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
The Turtles.
The Turtles. Yeah,
yeah. Now, I grew up, when I was a kid, they were a big group.
Yeah.
But like a year ago, I saw something on YouTube where the Turtles did a little video on how they were ripped off by every record company and manager.
Is
and they
not
went
the funniest piece in the world?
Oh, you know what I'm talking about.
Of course I do, yeah.
It was amazing.
The blackboard?
Right, on the blackboard. And at the end, they were back with their original manager.
Absolutely.
But basically bankrupt.
Exactly. They went through a lot of changes.
It's crazy business.
Everything comes kind of full circle. And when I started with them in 1980, they were still called Flo and Eddie. They were still going under that heading. And they were out doing their thing as Flo and Eddie. They didn't really want anything to do with the Turtles because of all the legal mumbo-jumbo that was going on. Just within the last 10 or 15 years, I got back into doing the Turtles thing as a oldie revival, or whatever you want to call it. But certainly two insane guys, and it was a lot of fun. I did that for 4 years, and that was an awful lot of fun.
So you guys, now you know the format of the show.
Mm-hmm.
We like to focus on originals because it's hard to to hear them. Actually, it's not hard to hear them because you go on MySpace and you can hear them in a second, but on TV you don't get to hear them much.
Right.
So what have you guys got for me today?
Well, this is we're going to do an instrumental first.
Sure.
It's something that I wrote called Riverfest, and we did it actually, I don't know, 8 years ago or something like that. I moved here from California, but Pete Seeger was having a Riverfest down in Hastings, you know, for the Clearwater and stuff. And so I wrote this for that. It's called Riverfest, little instrumental.
Thank you. interesting. You use a thumb pick. You use a regular pick.
Yep.
You play kind of more simple open ringing chords. You do more bar form chords. Very interesting. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, you want to... We try to, you know, when we voice stuff, we try to voice it almost, you know, a piano player always has the option of having 10 fingers and big fat voicings and stuff. So whenever we're writing stuff, we always try to voice it so it's almost like if you had two hands on a piano, you know, big fat voicings and stuff. So that's what we're going
exactly right.
But it was very impressive.
Thank you.
Now, why do you use the regular pick and you use the thumb pick?
You have about 5 hours?
Yeah, if you fast forward it to 10 seconds.
That would be an interesting conversation. 5 hours of why do you use a thumb pick?
That's right.
Anyway, we'll think
just
about
style,
it. We'll talk
man.
About it later.
Because you use a straight pick, too. I mean, you do. Yeah.
When I play electric, whether I'm doing an electric gig or a rock and roll gig or whatever, I will always use typically a regular
right.
pick.
Right.
But whenever I'm doing finger style, using all five, I always
And with
use
this
a
guitar
pick.
On a big jumbo guitar, yeah. it sounds really yeah. good.
I can strum with this, which I do. But the finger-picking style, some people use a long, flat one that comes out. I just happen to use this brand.
Why don't you hold it up to the camera?
There you go. Some people use no pick.
It's like a growth or something.
You know, there are a lot of guys like, you know, Jeff Beck and other players like that who really don't use a pick at all.
Right, but you know what they do that it's, that you find out is they spend all their, not all their time, but a lot of their time growing their nails, and basically
yes.
putting chemical coatings
correct.
On
yep.
them.
Correct.
It's like James Taylor has this
correct.
Acrylic yep. stuff he puts on. Anyway.
You run into guys with big yellow nails, too. You can always tell the guy when you run into him with big yellow nails, oh, you're a guitar player, man. Because the nails are like this thick, you know.
So what are you going to do next for us?
Well, we're gonna do another original. It's yep. called There's a Beauty to Submission. So we're going to try this.
Beautiful,
we'll feature
man.
Brian also on vocals
well,
and... harmonica on
we'll
top
see what happens.
Else.
We'll see what happens.
So it really isn't just two guitars, is it?
Yeah.
Two guitars and a mouth.
Two guitars
and a mouth.
That's right. Yeah. Change the name. Call the copyright office.
Here
two guitars and a mouth. Submission, power in letting go. Let it come to its fruition. Breathe real slow, you will grow. You will grow. There's a beauty to submission. Right up is your home, you will know, you will know. I'm feeling like a postage stamp, feel me and I'll stay down. You may be the missing article, baby, but thank you.
it's an article, baby, but I'm the lost and found. Sometimes don't we all feel like we're the lost and found, submission, strength yet to be found. Put your cool into remission, let it find the ground, you will grow. Sometimes you gotta give it up to grow.
Thank you.
Thanks. What I like is that you've done songs that are very stylistically different. One was almost a folk song. Here I'm thinking popsicle toes. My baby cooks her eggplant.
There you go. Absolutely.
Michael Franks, for those Absolutely. Who right. don't know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But very impressive. You know, it just
thank you.
It does my heart good to see two people who can really play, and two guitar players
working
who,
on it.
But two guitar yeah. players who respect each other. It's not like one is slavishly playing rhythm and the other's, yeah. you know, been there, done that, right?
Right. Absolutely,
definitely, as you have, I'm sure, man.
Absolutely.
It's
so.
And we grew up with so many different styles of music too. So we try to.
Yeah. What song? Made you decide you were going to be a guitarist or musician?
Wow.
What song?
That's really tough. Man.
It is tough.
Oh, gosh.
Okay, keep that in mind. Think about that.
Okay.
I'm trying to...
I think that we on my...
Lots of songs.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
More or less, you know, the invasion of the Beatles to America.
The sure. British invasion turned you on?
Well, yeah. In 64, it was...
Me too.
I was 0 minus 12. And everybody at that point said, okay, I'm going to be a guitarist. I'm going to play or be a drummer or whatever. And that's where it kind of started. Everybody bought their first $25 harmony guitar.
Oh, my God. I still have mine.
At some local store.
You still have?
The strings are that far off.
Correct.
I had one, too.
How we ever learned
I couldn't
to play
even play it. Yeah.
And for the first 5 years, yeah. played Puff the Magic Dragon and things like that, because that's all we had available to us, not like
Sloop
today.
John B.
Sloop
yeah.
John B.
Yeah.
All that stuff.
Until the British invasion. Mm-hmm. And when the British invasion came in, there was a
yeah.
lot out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I remember the Honeycombs and... But yeah, so same for you. You played
pretty
the
much
Beatles.
The same, pretty absolutely. Much the same.
Freddie and the Dreamers.
Freddie and the Dreamers, lots of Beatles. But my dad was a musician, so I also grew up in a house where I heard a lot of... He was with the Gene Krupa band, and so I heard a lot of jazz and big band stuff. And actually, I was my friends made fun of me because I listened to jazz and big band, because we were playing in a rock and roll band called The Tribe, and we were playing all Stones and Beatles and Kinks and Yardbirds and stuff like that. And then whenever they came over my house, you know, because in the days when you'd rehearse in somebody's basement or their garage, you swapped garages and stuff, you know. They'd hear me listening to other stuff, and I go, "What's your problem, man? Why are you listening to that?" I said, "It's all music. It's incredible stuff, you know." So anyway, I like all of it.
Hence
like
your diverse background.
Yeah, I guess. Back in the day, everything was rock, jazz, pop. Nowadays, most players, I'm sure, who come through your school can do everything.
Or at least aspire to, want to.
Yeah.
But in our day, you were either a folky or a rocky. I mean, there was...
Okay, now I'm going to go to the scripted questions, the canned questions. Okay. And that's basically if you could bring two CDs to a desert island.
Well, that was one of those questions?
That was one of those questions.
Well, he was supposed to pass them on to you.
I did. I passed them on.
Okay. So we'll start with you.
It wasn't a gallstone, man.
And you're going to see how diverse it's going to be.
Fine. Or three. It doesn't matter.
All three, yeah. No, it would have to be a lot more than two for me. But I mean, one of the ones that just stuck in my head was the White Album, the Beatle album. You know, the White Album has a lot of stuff on
it
that I love.
Music.
And then, you know...
Get the most of your money on that one.
And then there's another album that's probably most people won't know unless they're real jazz aficionados and stuff. But there's a lady named Anne-Marie Moss, who was with Lambert Hendricks and Ross for years, and she was also Maynard Ferguson's lead vocalist. And she's like an incredible. She's an incredible singer. She's one of my heroes.
Say her name again.
Anne-Marie Moss. She was with Lambert Hendricks and Ross. She took Andy Ross's place in Lambert Hendricks and Ross. She was with Maynard Ferguson as the lead vocalist for years. And she had an album out. I'd probably take that with me because there's beautiful arrangements on it. And she was perfect pitch, quintessence of a vocalist. I mean, just unbelievable. And tons of other albums too.
Well, to name another one. We're going to give you time to come up with yours.
Oh gosh, man! You're
I mean, but we want to hear your influences.
Well, you know, I might bring a George Barnes album with me, you know, or a Pat Martino album or something like that. You know, who are great jazz players. I might bring a Steely Dan album with me for some of the same reasons. I might bring a Bob Dylan album with me because of his incredible poetry. Anyway, I could go on and on.
That's awesome. All right, Gus.
Well, we're going to do an old and a new.
And a borrowed and a blue.
We could do. Well, it could be borrowed. When the Beatles hit and everybody was playing songs, like you mentioned, Sam the Sham and the Pharaohs, Little Red Riding Hood,
these
songs.
Oh, yeah, that's a great one.
They were 2.5 minute, 3 minute pop songs, and I loved them to death. But I was still playing Puff the Magic Dragon and things like that. First song I ever really learned, rock song, was Little Red Riding Hood on the guitar, and Just Like Me by
Paul Revere and the Raiders.
And the Raiders. So,
yep.
But what happened in 67, of course, the Beatles released Sgt. Pepper. June 1st, I think it was, 67.
Oh, I'd have to have a Stevie Wonder album with me, too.
Absolutely.
And Smokey Robinson and the Miracles. I just want to say that, man.
And?
There's certain stuff you got to have with you.
I'm sorry
I interrupted you.
You have a whole collection.
No, I'm just tripping now because you're thinking about
it. We'll get back to you.
One iPod.
No, don't get back to me.
Solar-powered iPod with everything in the world on it, and you'd be set. In 67, the Beatles came out with Sgt. Pepper. Certainly, probably the quintessential album of all time. But 2 months later, August of 67, a band called Vanilla Fudge released their first album.
You keep me hanging on.
And that
That's right.
turned me on to rock like I had never seen before.
And you still see him, right?
I'm friends with the guitarist.
Vinnie Martell.
But growing up as a kid, as a young kid, I saw this symphonic, surrealistic kind of album, which I still consider today to be one of the greatest start-to-finish albums of all time. And these guys doing remakes, symphony, very Pink Floyd-ish, big, lavish arrangements to other people's songs. So that would be my first album. That's what got me really playing guitar.
I saw them at the Electric Circus. Wasn't that across
the Electric Circus is a great band.
That
but
got me playing.
They were the first band, first rock concert I ever went to. I had a choice between the Vanilla Fudge...
Also me.
between the vanilla fudge and traffic.
Mm-hmm.
And for many years, I thought I made a mistake.
Over the years. I don't know, man. They're both great fans. They're both great. I was on the road with Spencer Davis for a while.
Really?
Yeah. And anyway, but Traffic was a great band. Yeah, it's really great.
So your second one. Oh, so you say Sgt. Pepper.
I have to have the first Fudge album because it's what I could listen to day in and day out. Yeah. The second one is any album, it doesn't matter what it is, by an Australian guy named Tommy Emmanuel.
Yes.
He's a guitarist, and obviously where I got my thumb pick inspiration from.
I want to add that, too.
Well, yeah. we got to wrap it up.
Okay,
we
so
got
Tommy
10
Emmanuel,
seconds.
Greatest guitar player on the face of this earth.
Okay. Guys. It was
greatest
awesome having you.
Player on the-
Stay tuned, people, for part two.
Thanks, Roger.
Thank you.